From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790. ABQ Connect.
Welcome to ABQ Connect, and Merry Christmas to everybody. I hope you're getting everything done, especially preparing that meal for the family. It's so special to have your family together for Christmas, and I hope this is a special time of year. A lot of people feel a lot of pressure, and invariably, right in the middle of preparing something, you end up with a plumbing backup or something crazy happens around the house. So that's why today I've got my friend Emiliano Griego and his partner Miguel Martinez. They're with Free Flow Mechanical. They are master HVAC and master plumbers, and we welcome you gentlemen in to ABQ Connect.
Thank you, Jim. We really thank you for bringing us in for this.
Tell me what master HVAC and master plumber is.
Well, master HVAC is just having the time and experience in this field, having the correct licenses to be able to do the work and make sure people are taking care of their
correctly. Is that easy for people if they're looking for somebody in HVAC or in plumbing? Is it easy to find that the person you're talking to is licensed?
It's pretty easy. There's actually a state website they can go on to and check that the company that they're using has an active license.
I love it. As we're talking today, and we want to invite people to call in at 505-338-5790. If you have a plumbing question or an HVAC question, a lot of people have questions about, how come my swamp cooler's only getting my house down to 85 degrees in the middle of the summer. Is there something wrong with it? Anyway, if you have any kind of question, call us at 505-338-5790. Emiliano and Miguel with Free Flow Mechanical are here with us as our experts, our resident experts. How about that as a question? Is there anything wrong with your swamp cooler when it's 105 outside and it's 85 in your house?
There's nothing wrong with the swamp cooler itself. It's doing the best job that it possibly can in our conditions. The only thing is those swamp coolers are only in best circumstances going to get you maybe a 20, 25 degree difference in temperature from outside to inside.
That's just the nature. That's
the nature of the beast.
The nature. And it, of course, if there's any moisture in the air, then you're not going to get that much evaporation.
Correct.
Miguel, how is refrigerated air different? It doesn't work on evaporation, does it?
No, it doesn't. So the refrigerated air mostly cycles it back to the furnace and the coils. And every time it's cycled back, it brings down the temperature a little more, and it's
so the coils are filled with some kind of refrigerant.
Yes, some Freon. Yep.
And that refrigerant, I know, changes all the time.
Correct. We just went the beginning of this year. The EPA has went ahead and changed the refrigerant on us again in the industry. So that has definitely rose the cost up. And equipment.
Now, that doesn't mean if you have an older system that you have to run out and get that changed, but you just have to do new systems with the new standards, right?
Correct. The only way that affects you as a homeowner is if your system has completely run out of refrigerant and it's one of those refrigerants we're no longer able to get our hands on, that's where we're going to be looking at getting a new system. In a house.
I think I told you before we started today, my two youngest daughters bought a home together.
Correct.
For, I'm going to call them rookie homeowners.
Yeah.
What's the most common thing people have trouble with in plumbing or HVAC?
For HVAC, we're going to see older systems, especially if you're buying an older house. If the people have had pets and that AC coil on the outdoor one is outside on the floor, the dog urine really eats through those coils.
So a dog comes and, forgive me, lifts its leg and marks its territory, and that getting into the cooling coils isn't a good thing.
No, it eats away those fins, and then it eventually starts to eat away the copper, the acid. That's in what they discharge. It starts to eat that metal away.
What's a normal maintenance that people ought to be doing on that? What do you call that piece of equipment?
So your
where it has a fan and it's drawing air through it?
Correct. That's your outdoor condenser.
Okay. And what maintenance should be done? Because a lot of people never even look at it.
No, it's one of those things that's out of sight, out of mind for a lot of homeowners. Even us in the industry, we're guilty of doing that ourselves. But your normal maintenance is going to be getting some kind of company that you trust out there that knows what they're doing, that's licensed to do what they're supposed to do. They should be going through and cleaning those coils for you. If you're keeping up on your maintenance, a simple cleaning is just with low pressure water going through those coils. If you're deferred on your maintenance, you're going to want to use some kind of coil cleaner that's available to an HVAC professional where it can go through, it could sud through the coils, push any kind of dirt or buildup out of there. They're going to be checking electrical connections and the components inside, making sure that they're not going to prematurely fail on you.
Is that a real expensive thing for you to do preventive maintenance on a unit like that?
When you look at it as a long-term investment, it's going to be cheaper to maintenance that system and make sure it's up to par rather than having to replace equipment that's prematurely failing.
Yeah. I know it's not cheap to replace equipment. it's pretty expensive. I know one that I think about all the time because I've had to come unclog a few kitchen drains. Yes. Where people throw everything and anything in the garbage disposal. How about that, Miguel?
Yeah, you should probably never really do that. Maybe like some vegetables, soft stuff that can get ground up.
But you shouldn't like put a whole carrot down there, right?
Yeah, just little pieces here and there. No grease for sure. That'll definitely clog up your sewer.
So with grease, I mean, let's say you just cooked a hamburger or you cooked bacon or whatever. Pour that in like a glass jar. A
jar, yeah, that you're going to go ahead and throw out when it's...
You know, cool it off, yeah. Throw it in the trash. Okay.
Yeah, they have some stuff at the store too they're selling now where you put it in the grease and it hardens it. So that way you can...
Is that right?
Yeah. So yeah, like Miguel covered, no crazy amount of vegetables, anything soft. Really, so more so remnants of whatever's on your dishes. We shouldn't be putting down potato pills, eggshells, nothing like that. Nothing heavy down that garbage disposal. I kind of don't like that name, the garbage disposal, because people tend to believe that it's the garbage. Really, it's...
But that makes plumbers, plural...
Plural.
Your company and others, you get probably calls about that.
We do, especially during these holiday seasons. We're getting a lot of calls about backed up sinks, burnt out disposals, because people are putting down stuff that they just are uneducated on what not to put down there.
Do people do the same thing with their toilets?
They do. They do. The biggest thing that we're seeing right now and in today's age is we're seeing wipies.
Wiping. Like you would use for a baby, like a baby wipe?
A baby wipe, even the flushable wipes that say they're flushable, they don't break apart like the package says they do. Toilet paper, when you get it wet, it gets soft. It starts to break itself up, especially as you flush it on the toilet and it tumbles down the pipes. That's going to break down. But what we're seeing a lot of is people are believing that these flushable wipes are flushable when they're not.
Yeah, I could just see somebody preparing a meal for Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, and all of a sudden that sink says, nope.
Yes.
Well, I'm not cooperating. And it's, you know, it's just like anything. You guys have families. I know you do answer emergencies, as a lot of people do. And you just kind of have to be committed to that, don't you, when you're in the plumbing business?
We do. It's the nature of the job. It's pretty much expected. People are going to need help when other places aren't open.
Are there common misconceptions people have about heating, HVAC, and air conditioning and plumbing that you'd like to clear up?
Yeah, on the HVAC side, one of the biggest things that I see is people believe, well, if I'm not home and I turn my AC or my heater off, and I'm not running it, they think they're heating up empty space or they're wasting energy. So they leave it off all day. So like even in the summer, we're seeing people leave it off all day. And the number one call we get is, hey, we get home and it takes forever to cool down. Well, that's a big misconception, because you are actually wasting more energy by doing that, because it's going to take that system a lot longer to remove the heat out of the air than if you just set it at a good consistent temperature and just let it run. You're actually going to use less energy in that system by maintaining a temperature. The best way I've always explained it to all of customers I've dealt with, it's like driving your car. If you're on the freeway and you're going 65 and you need to get to 70, it's a little bit easier to get from 65 to 70. It's going to take less gas and less energy versus if you pulled all the way over, went from 0 to 70. Think about how long. That's the same thing with your
Would you save any money if, let's say, when you're home, it's 105 in good old Albuquerque, or I'm thinking about people that live in Las Cruces. You're talking about 110, you know, a little warmer in the south.
Correct.
I know Roswell, Carlsbad get a little hot. So you don't necessarily have to leave your system at 70 degrees or 72, but you don't want to turn it off completely.
Correct. I've always given a rule of thumb is 4 degrees of your set temperature. So if you like your house at 70 degrees, when you leave for work or to go do what you're going to do during the day, set up that schedule on your thermostat, bump it up 4 more degrees than what you're typically having it in your home. Same thing with the heat. If you like to heat that house at about 70 and you want to leave and you don't want it running at 70 all the time, turn it down to like 67, 66 degrees. If you're within that 4 degrees, it's going to take less energy to bring it back to that comfortable temperature you like than just shutting it off completely.
I know this may not be in your purview, but Miguel, you've probably seen customers that have HVAC this or that. You might notice that they've replaced their windows. Maybe they tell you that they've done some insulation. Do customers actually gain some benefit by doing those kind of improvements to their home?
Oh, yeah, that definitely helps maintain the temperature inside the house and to keep that temperature, whether it be hot, cold, even a TPO roof on a flat roof helps reject the heat from coming in from traditional tar and gravel roof.
Yeah, see, that's interesting. I love the fact that you guys have this experience because you can say, you know, our listeners are out there and they're in the market to buy services and different things. And, you know, they don't know what's best. It's not just the HVAC. You got everything, the insulation, the windows, how your doors. I mean, all of that stuff all kind of works together. I know that's not in your bailiwick because you're dealing with the plumbing and the HVAC system. But that's amazing. Emiliano Griego and Miguel Martinez are owners of Free Flow Mechanical. Their phone number is 505-439-9629. Website is freeflownewmexico.com. They're going to stay with us till 2 o'clock. If you have any questions about plumbing or HVAC, please call us at 505-338-5790. We'll be back on ABQ Connect. Emiliano Griego and Miguel Martinez with Free Flow Mechanical. I have a hard time saying that. Free flow.
It's a little bit of a tongue twister.
That's right. But I can't help but think about that person in their kitchen, bending over the sink, cleaning out the turkey, washing off the ham, peeling potatoes, throwing those in the garbage disposal, and then they're calling a plumber.
I know.
And it, as Miguel already said, your garbage disposal is not made for that.
No.
Throw that in the
trash.
Yep. What about people, Miguel, that haven't turned on their garbage disposal for like a month and they have just little bits of stuff going in there and then all of a sudden it's not draining? Got to turn it on once in a while, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's also a good idea to put a bunch of ice in there and maybe some lemon to scent it. And
I love that.
And push the power button and get that stuff stirred up. And like you said, you just kind of got to – that's the thing with plumbing is if you don't use it, it will give you problems.
What about – we were talking a little bit during the break about water softeners and water purifiers. Kind of give us a basic lesson on that, would you?
So they do have softeners and refiners out there. And the difference between the two is the softener will soften the water and the refiner will actually...
Is softening like removing minerals and stuff?
So the softener is removing some of the minerals, depending. There are different softeners depending on if you're a city water or a well. The refiner will actually pull out chlorine. So it has different components inside of it. So they're not all the same.
And is there a unit that does both?
There are units that do both, yes. And
okay.
Those are the ones that we would call like a refiner.
I've heard that when you have a refiner or a purifier. A purifier is a word that probably you don't use in plumbing. You use refiner.
Refiner's better, yeah. We're refining the water.
Is the chlorine at a level in city water that actually can harm your pipes?
It has, we have been reading more on that the chlorine actually will start breaking down certain materials like copper and the PEX, the newer piping out there. So the chlorine does damage a lot of components of the water system. Also the shower stalls, if you got glass, it gets real fogged up. That's all the chlorine that's building up. And the water heater as well will start to build up.
So that scale that you see on, like, and I don't know why they make these clear shower doors now, because you can really see, water everything. Stains, and we call them calcium deposits, but in many cases that might be chlorine.
That's just chlorine, yeah.
It could be a mixture of both. We're seeing it with the city water too. Their main priority with the city water is to make sure it's safe,
right,
to ingest and be healthy. Once it goes out in your house, they're not going to be responsible for what it does to the piping systems or the appliances.
So we're talking about city water.
Correct.
And maybe having a water softener and a refiner. You feel like that's a good investment? Somebody told me that your laundry comes out better when you're using softened water. It makes your laundry soaps and things more effective?
Yes, it suds up a little more, so you have to use less soap. Shampoo, detergent, all that stuff.
So shampooing your hair and softened water works a little bit better?
Yep. And it's healthier for the skin and the hair, everything. It really...
So you think that those investments are worth it and can actually help your pipes in your home?
Oh, yeah. It's a definite investment on your appliances, your body, everything pretty much that takes water.
Okay, so I'm just thinking of real life scenarios here. My sister lives in Corrales, beautiful home on an acre, pretty hard water. She has this black stuff called manganese. I guess that's just a mineral.
Yep.
But it stains the sidewalk. I mean, everything. So that can't be doing good things to the pipes in her house.
Correct. That's if you're seeing it on the showers, on your appliances, the shower heads.
You can really see it on the porcelain bathtub.
Correct.
Really dark.
Okay, and that's just from it running. Can you imagine when the water is sitting in there 24/7?
Okay, that makes me think about the hot water heater.
Correct.
What kind of maintenance needs to happen with a hot water heater?
So your hot water heater definitely should be flushed out annually, whether it be tanked water heater, a tankless, those should be flushed out every year.
So whatever is in your water is going to sit at the bottom of the tank. Is that wrong?
Yes.
And is the heating element for a hot water heater at the bottom?
Yes, the burner is at the bottom, and it just all that sediment, everything just tends to collect at the bottom.
Yeah, the best way to picture this visually, think of your burner on your stove. That's what it looks like at the bottom of the water heater. Now, think you have a pot of water that you're trying to boil. Now, imagine if you just put a bunch of sand on the bottom of that pot of water, then filled it up with water. That heat has to go through the pan, through the sand, and then it'll transfer that heat energy into that water. The same thing with the calcium buildup. If you have all of that calcium sediment set on the bottom of the water heater, it's going to waste a lot of energy to try and heat that water to the correct temperature.
I love that. So again, water softener, what's the other term?
The refiner.
The refiner, both investments you would recommend for people. And people that are interested in finding who does that, it's easy to find licensing. And so you can go to the state website.
Correct. And even looking up on Google. If you're really worried about the calcium and the chlorine in the water, you're going to want to get like Miguel had explained. They do have systems that are softeners and refiners. A softener and a refiner are two different things. The softener is going to make it soft. The refiner is not only going to make the water soft, it's going to pull that chlorine out of there. So you can always look and see which providers have those options available.
I love that. Emiliano Griego and Miguel Martinez are the owners of Free Flow Mechanical. Their phone number is 505-439-9629. It's our Ask the Expert segment with our master plumber and master HVAC providers. How about this one? I'm always concerned about people not doing what they could do to save money.
Correct.
But sometimes we don't do maintenance. I know this is true with cars all the time. We have a sponsor, Southern Boulevard Automotive and Japanese Auto Care and Christian Brothers Automotive. And they'll come on and they're asked the expert segments and they'll just say, look, if somebody would have done this, changed their oil, this or that, they would have saved $1,000 on a repair bill. Correct. What about stuff that people need to maintain on a regular basis that would save them a lot of money with plumbing or HVAC?
So like Miguel had said with the water heaters, the flushing is a huge...
Every year? Trip. Just once a year?
Every year. And honestly, if you want to be really good at it, every 6 months. But there is a catch to that. If you've had that water heater in your home for 6 years, you've never looked at it, you've never flushed it, you don't want to start flushing it, because that's the drain they put on these water heaters from the factory. It's a pinhole that they, so once you get sediment buildup in there, you're not going to be draining that thing all the way. And not only that, if you start flushing it, then you've already had all that calcium buildup in there. You could be covering up holes, pinholes with that calcium. We start flushing it away, you can start seeing some leaks.
Wow.
But, and like Miguel said, I mean, Miguel has some really good pointers on what to do on the plumbing aspect too, that can save a lot with the shutoffs under your sinks.
Yeah. Replacing your, we call them angle stops. They're called angle stops. Those are the shutoffs under your kitchen faucet, bathroom faucet, your toilet. Those should probably be checked and replaced if they're seized up. They get seized up after a few years, especially without any water treatment in the home. Should definitely get those looked at or swapped out if needed. Also, we do have high water pressure in Albuquerque, a PRV, which is a pressure reducing valve. Those should be installed on the main line coming into the home and then adjusted to proper temperature, which is around 70 to 80 PSI. The city's coming in probably 100 PSI, maybe even 110, we've seen.
Yeah, and I've seen that break the Schedule 40 PVC, the white PVC pipes.
Yes.
Like snap it on a sprinkler system.
Correct. Yes.
Like it's nothing.
Yes, sir.
And so they have pressure reducers that can be installed.
Yep, we can install those and get your pressure down to where it should be.
Yeah, you should always have a professional come and at least hook up a pressure gauge to see where you're sitting with your pressure and you're coming into your house, because that could do a lot of strain on your appliances and the water heaters too. I mean, I think one of the biggest things that we're seeing in the season that we're in as professionals, the biggest thing that probably all the professionals are seeing out there is sometimes some people just aren't that good at changing their filters in their home for their HVAC system. These HVAC systems are just like all of us in this room. They have to breathe. If we're choking these things down, we're going to shorten their life expectancy tremendously.
Are there filters, and I... you know, we're a nonprofit, non-commercial station, correct, so I can't ask you for a brand for everybody to go by.
What a type.
But a type of filter that people should be looking for.
You know, if you're just going to go down to Home Depot or your local parts store, whatever, the hardware store, you're going to just want to find your medium of the road filter, because they always taught us the best filter in the world is a piece of plywood, because it's going to catch everything. But the thing with that, with filters, is we go back to that choking issue. You can get a filter that is too thick for your system, and it will choke it, and you'll start setting off alarms and protection modes in those furnaces and those AC systems. They do have a type of filter out there. They're pretty well known. They're called electrostatic type filters. They're electrically polarized, so that way they can actually they turn into basically what's like a dirt magnet. They're going to catch pretty much 99% of that stuff that's floating around in the air.
We're going to take a quick break and say thank you to our sponsors. And I want to remind everybody that it's not too late for you to be part of the Christmas Critter Campaign with GFA World. I do want you to know that yesterday I went online to klyt.fm and I bought a pair of chickens. And it's kind of an interesting thing that GFA World does. They will provide gifts to people in these third world countries, South Asia, parts of Africa. And you buy a couple of chickens, and all of a sudden, somebody that is not able to support their family, they're in the chicken business. they have a few eggs, and by the way, that becomes more chickens pretty fast. Yeah. It's kind of interesting how that all works. And you can give that as a gift through GFA World. So go to klyt.fm and click on the Christmas Critter Campaign banner and look through their catalog, because they have everything from water buffalo, which is like buying somebody a bulldozer, to Jesus wells, which, you know, a Jesus well might be $5,000. Well, maybe an individual doesn't want to buy that, but maybe your church group with 20 people could all chip in a couple hundred bucks, and voila, you have a well for a community that prevents waterborne illnesses, which is amazing. So I just love the Christmas Critter Campaign. I hope you'll check it out at klyt.fm. And we'll be back with Emiliano and Miguel with Free Flow Mechanical right after these messages. Jim Williams with you on ABQ Connect. Thank you for joining us this Monday. Of course, we have Christmas coming up here on Thursday. I hope everybody's got everything in order. I know a lot of people are frantic and running around trying to find Christmas presents and all that. The part that I really enjoy, I have five kids, I have seven grandchildren, is when we get to have a family meal together. Are you guys getting together with family?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, we are.
That is so special.
It's the best. Thankfully, I've had the privilege to host for the past few years. Ever since I've been married, we've been hosting, and it's been great.
I love that. You said something to me during the break that God really has a prominent place in your relationship with your wife. I appreciate you saying that.
He does. He's always number one, even before each other. So.
Yeah, and I don't know if people understand that.
It's a hard concept to overcome.
By the way, I wasn't good at that.
You know, it takes a lot of work. It's any relationship, a marriage, a business venture, a business relationship is no different than my marriage. It takes work. It takes kindering, and God always has to be in control, and yeah. We have to roll with it and trust Him.
You guys are partners. Is it hard to be partners
With each other? No. This is awesome.
You guys have been friends for a long time.
Miguel has known me a very long time. he's been in my life for a long time. But we're great. We're both the gas and the brake for each other. So you
allow each other to speak into the other one's life.
Correct.
Which is really, I think there's so many people that don't have that.
Yeah, it's true.
Miguel brought up filters right before the break. And I can tell you that I have looked at some relatives, filters in their filter furnaces, and there's so much grossness in there. I don't even know how people are breathing in that house. So talk about when you should change those filters.
Yeah, you should really honestly be getting your eyes on those filters at least every 2 months. We recommend quarterly, so every 3 months to replace them. Now that's going to change. What kind of house do you have? Where's the location? Kind of flooring do you have? Do you have pets?
So let's say you're in North Albuquerque Acres surrounded by dirt.
Yeah, that's a big thing too. And even for the outdoor unit. But
if you got three dogs?
You got three dogs, a cat, hardwood floor, low to the ground, the return where the filter goes is low to the ground. You're probably going to want to be checking that, and you're probably going to be replacing it every 2 months.
Every 2 months. Yeah. I know people that will diligently replace it in October when they shut down their swamp cooler, but then they don't look at it again until May.
Yeah, and that may work for some people. They might get away with it for some time if they got carpet, their returns in the ceiling.
If getting away with it means you're dealing with asthma and other breathing issues. Yeah. So really, that's design. Those filters really do help.
They do. They really do help. And they're a wear item. I mean, they're expected to be replaced.
Yeah.
You know, we go into that before we left. We talked about electric static filters, which falls in place with indoor air quality, right? We're seeing a big influx in asthma and allergies and kids. And I'm sure everyone sees it in this industry. You're going in, sometimes the homeowner's biggest thing that they're focused on is their kid's health, right?
Yeah.
There's tons of products out there. We've got electrostatic filters. We've got humidifiers for all the dry air with the bloody noses. We have UV and UVC lights that we can put in the duct systems. So the UV is going to help kill bacteria. The UVC is going to create its own ozone. So it's going to help with any smell.
So these are not just gimmicky kinds of things. They're actually designed to kill viruses and those kind of things. Did that become more prominent after COVID?
During COVID, we saw a big influx in that. I was just going to speak on that. Was a big influx that we saw during COVID. We were seeing that wave. It was going off the shelves like crazy.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Is there anything that you've seen people, like I've seen little leaks on that outdoor faucet that people just don't take care of? What kind of damage can that cause?
Yeah, if the outdoor hose spigot's leaking, I mean, it can definitely start even wearing down the stucco. If it's dripping off and then bouncing right onto the stucco, start chipping the stucco off the wall, should definitely probably have it replaced.
And the heating and cooling when it gets wintertime and that wall's got moisture on it, cracks the... Because people don't realize stucco's just concrete.
Yeah, it's not a... It only protects so much, right? It can only do so much. So.
And it's... I mean, is it a terrible burden financially for people to fix those kinds of things?
No, it's a fairly inexpensive... Versus the alternative of letting it go until it's damaged, right? I mean, that's pretty much how everything works, right? Like, you let it go too long, it's going to cost you more, even with your car, right? Some things could be, it lead to bigger things, right? So it's always best to just call the professionals out and see what they can do for you.
Is it valuable at all to do a water test? Like to test the mineral and chemical content of your waters?
Yeah. I mean, the average person isn't really informed about what's out there, right? That's it. Water comes out, hot or cold, everything should be good. There is a lot of stuff out there. And you know, we're in New Mexico, we're in the desert, there's not that much water, and we're pulling water from the aquifer, and we're having to treat it more. And that's where the refiners come in, and the chlorine. They're adding so much chlorine to make the water safe. And it's just, like I said, the average person isn't too familiar with what's out there. So,
how long should a typical HVAC system, for those who don't know what that means, that's a refrigerated and refrigerated cooling and a heating system kind of all built into one.
Correct.
So how long should a system like that last if it's installed properly and maintained properly?
Yeah, big keyword there, maintained properly. We're seeing a life expectancy average year between 12 and 15 years. As long as you've treated the system well, you should get some ROI on that return on investment on what you initially put into it to get it installed. If you take care of it, it's going to take care of you for about 12 to 15 years.
Emiliano, have you seen, you're a young man.
Correct.
You've been doing this for a long time, but have you seen such a substantial change in technologies that 10, 12 years from now, the technology will have improved to even be more motivation to upgrade systems?
Yeah. We've seen some change. I mean, I've been doing this even though I'm young. I was doing it before I got out of school, so I've been doing it about 15 years. Even within that 15 years, we've seen 3 refrigerant changes. We've seen efficiency ratings go up quite a bit. Every day in this trade is we're learning something new, even with that term master plumber, master HVAC. To me, it's just a term.
But you learn something new every day.
Every day, even in a position that I'm in with the business now. We're learning every day.
What kinds of things would a qualified plumbing HVAC company Are there constant updates, education that people should be doing?
Yeah, they should always be having continuing education. Even some of the local supply houses, they're giving out free classes for these guys to go to, learn the new technologies, learn the new efficiency ratings, learn how we can save people money, what's going to be best for what home. Every situation is different. Every single home is different. So a really good, skilled company that's going to send out the correct technician for you, this technician should know this. He should be able to walk into your home and take care of any situation that you have.
I love that. Emiliano Griego, Miguel Martinez, owners of Free Flow Mechanical. Their phone number is 505-439-9629. Answering all of our questions this afternoon. When we come back, they're going to spend about 10 minutes answering questions that people have emailed me over the last few months, and I'm going to ask them some specific questions about specific things. Maybe repeating a couple things that they've already covered, but maybe you're just joining us. It would be a good thing for you to write down and just keep in mind as you think about the best way to keep your family safe. We'll be back on ABQ Connect. Stay with us. The owners of Free Flow Mechanical are here this afternoon on ABQ Connect to help us get our questions answered about plumbing and HVAC. Their phone number is 505-439-9629, Free Flow Mechanical. Their website is freeflownewmexico.com, freeflownewmexico.com. Okay, I'm going to ask you some things that people have. They've texted me, they've emailed me. If you want to email me and for our next show, email me at jim.williams@abqconnect.online. And I will be happy to, we're going to have these guys on, I hope regularly, to answer questions every six or so weeks to, because I just think people have questions. Okay, so here's one I've got for you. And maybe we talked about this already, but people are always worried that something's recommended and they waste money going by it. I'm thinking about those little insulated cups that you put on top of a hose bib on the outside of your house. Does that really help keep a pipe from freezing?
Yeah, those work pretty good, especially if your outdoor spigots installed or located on the north side of the home, because the north side will never really see sun.
Yeah, I noticed that in the shade, there's always snow, right?
Correct. Yeah, it's always the coldest part. The sun never hits it. So those styrofoam cups definitely protect the outdoor spigots all over, any side, but mostly definitely on the north side.
But I didn't know this before we had a break and we were talking about this for a second. One of you mentioned that there's actually a technology now where I don't know how it's installed or what it is, but it makes it so that the water doesn't even get out to the spigot. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's a frost-free bib. They've been around for a while. As long as there's room behind the wall, they can get those installed into your home. Pretty much the knob has a stem on it that goes about 10 or 12 inches into the wall, and it shuts the water off that 10 or 12 inches back into an insulated wall, so that way there's not water sitting in that pipe directly outside.
I gotcha. Oh, well, yeah, I didn't even know that technology was available.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. How about, I can't, do you guys have a lot of knowledge about sprinkler systems?
Oh yeah.
I always see, without fail, I see people that have water in the gutter running down the street when they have a sprinkler system. And I don't see the sprinklers necessarily
going.
You see them sometimes shooting straight up in the air. That's obviously they hit it with a mower or something.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about, to me, it's almost like they watered three times in one day and now the water's saturating the ground. So everything that's coming out is going down the street.
Yeah. And even going into these winter months, you know, we've been pretty warm, but we're going to start getting a little bit colder come the new year. Best thing is call your plumber, call your sprinkler company, get them professionally turned off, blown out. Sometimes people forget to do that and it freezes and it cracks those control valves and you're spilling water everywhere.
Now that's an interesting thing. You can actually blow out the sprinkler system so it doesn't have any
residual
huge amount of water in it.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's an interesting thing. What is the best way? This is one I really like. I hate the way people use plungers in their toilets. Yeah. I think I know the answer already, but what's the proper way to use a plunger?
Well, the proper tool to use if you've got a clogged toilet is it's called a closet auger. And you can, pretty much anybody can use one. It's got a handle. It's got a 3-foot cable on it, and you just push that down into the toilet, and you just spin it in a circular motion, and it'll most of the time unclog it unless the clog's in the main line and further down where the closet auger can't get to.
Okay, so you like that better than a plunger.
Oh, yeah.
Plunger's more for a homeowner. You know, it's what they have available to them. Those augers, you can get at any hardware store, too. But, I mean, you got to use what you got to use sometimes.
Yeah. Well, what I was thinking is so many times I see people that so the plunger looks like an accordion.
Oh, yeah, those are good.
Those are the actual toilet ones.
But you actually have to push them down in the water.
Correct.
Draw them up very slowly so they fill up with water first.
And then use that pressure.
And then push it down.
Correct. And there's different types of plungers for different...
Now, if you do that a couple times and it isn't working, you got to quit doing it.
Yeah.
Because that you're like packing whatever's in there.
or making a mess.
Yeah.
At that point, see if you get the right tool or call a licensed professional.
Yeah. Well, that's really interesting. Yeah, boy. I don't know how you guys deal with, to be honest with you, a lot of plumbing stuff grosses me out.
Drain calls.
Yeah. Yeah. There is a misconception with plumbers. They think we're nothing but toilets and the stuff in the drains. The plumbers are dealing with more of the clean stuff. Your drain techs are dealing with the backups and sewer calls.
Yeah. Well, I remember all the different commercials for the various companies. Correct. That are talking about, you know, unclogging this or that. How about maintenance on a septic tank? That's another question somebody's asked about. Does it really help to put that bacteria in a septic tank?
It helps a little bit. Your best plan of action there is get that thing pumped out. Get it pumped out. Get those solids removed from there. When you actually look at how a septic tank actually works, it's all the septic tank is doing is it's holding the solids while the liquid floats out into what they call the leach field and gets absorbed back into the aquifer. So you do need to get that thing pumped out.
Okay, so that supposed natural thing where the solids disintegrate,
not
maybe nice. That's dreamland.
I actually showed Miguel a video about it this morning where there was a guy who went to a house and his customer was bragging about how he never did it, and it was pretty bad. He was using those enzymes and it had been about 15 years, but the solids were in there pretty good.
Man, what an education you guys have given us today. Thank you so much, Miguel Martinez, Emiliano Griego, owners of Free Flow Mechanical, 505-439-9629. I appreciate you guys, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Jim. Thank you for having us.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.